Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I want you to know something. Jesus is alive and well, and he is on the throne, and prayer still changes things. Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you today for this broadcast. We open our hearts and our minds for revelation from heaven, and we thank you for manifesting yourself in our midst. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome the Holy Spirit of the living God into every aspect of our lives, every thought we think. And we thank you for it, and thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. David Barton, God bless you, man. Man, we had a good week last week.
We had a good week last week.
It was so good.
It was a good week.
We've got a direct hookup to the house from here. And so Gloria, when I got in, and she said, "Whoo, that was good, man." She was bouncing all over the place. She got a lot out of that yesterday. David, let's go back over here to Ephesians chapter 6. This has just been going on in me since we were broadcasting all last week. This got so big inside me that in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, I don't care who you are. You got to have this.
Yeah.
I mean, in ever since the fall of Adam, and there ain't never been any good old days, it's been progressively getting worse all these years. And until Jesus comes and fixes this mess, it's not going to get any better for the whole earthly environment. This thing it's in bad shape. Now, for the believer, however, we've been set astraight. We've been given God's original system in what he created. It was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything bad about the thing. But then the fall and the curse came on the thing. But Jesus has redeemed us from the curse, and he's given us ways to escape the spiritual death, the financial disaster of the curse, the physical pains and disasters of sin, and all that. So if we stay according to his word, we still have to fight the good fight of faith, and we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we've been given the tools with which to stand.
That's right.
And that's what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if you got to have this. And if I'm going to do this, then there's certain principles I'm going to have to follow in order to walk in it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now that's the whole rank and file of Satan's forces right there. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, or that you may be able to take a stand against. What did he say? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. And then he said, take the whole armor of God to equip you to stand against it and be victorious against it. There's no good to stand against it if you can't, ain't got anything to stand on.
That's right.
Stand, therefore. All right, he said this three times.
Stand,
stand, stand. Take your stand. I'm giving you the armor, but you're going to have to put it on.
Yeah.
You're going to have to follow it, and you're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil. His plans, his works, his purposes, his pursuits, everything that he's trying to do. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, or standing on the word, in other words.
That's right.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray always. So he's given us this whole system of his armor. Now, stand and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That would mean all his political tricks. Mm-hmm. All the lies that he tells and gets people all stirred up over here in this Babylonian system that he's thrust and pushed on mankind ever since the fall. Or man trying to get his needs met without God. It's just a simple way of putting it. Now, stand. Let's take, let's say that I have been given and blessed with some money, and I've been blessed of God and been given an opportunity to make decisions and invest that money. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian man here. Now, does it matter where I put that money?
Yeah.
It matters, doesn't it?
Only if you care about the results that come back.
Because it's going to, once I release it into a certain situation, it's going to affect this stand.
That's right.
Now, if I take my stand on a particular platform built to stand on, and you're standing over there on that platform, and somebody else is standing over here on this one, and I'm standing here with an investment in my hand. Well, I don't want to put it in either one of them. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, I don't know whether that's right or not, because if I don't support either one of them, now I'm standing off out here on my own. Now I'm attempting to become my own God. And even when I pray, if God has given me this and told me to invest it, does that remind you of the man in the talents?
Yeah.
The guy that hid it in the ground?
I'm not going to use this.
I don't want to be a part of this.
Who's the guy who got in trouble?
He's the one who got in trouble.
He's the one who got in trouble that wouldn't take anything and do what he'd been given with. Yeah. He'd been given it, wouldn't do it.
So now, put the money down and put your vote in your hand.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same thing. You're going to invest that vote. If you don't invest it,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble because actually, in matter of election, you just voted for the wrong one.
Because both of them are stewardships. Whether it's money, whether it's a
yes,
vote,
it is.
It's something that's been given to you by God.
Very serious.
That's right.
You can do more with that ballot than you can do with money.
You can. That's right. You'll have more lasting effect. Righteousness exalts a nation. You can make an investment over here. It'll bring back fruit if you invest it wisely. We're told not to be unequally yoked, so we can't invest it in unrighteous things, expect to get returns on it. Same thing with vote. If we don't invest our vote in righteous, if we become unequally yoked with our vote, if a righteous person takes his vote and yokes it to something that's not going to be righteous, you get the same kind of bad returns. You're not going to get good returns out of it. And so money and vote, they're both stewardships. They've both been given by God, and we will account to God
now,
for what we do with them.
What you just said then, what I've heard you say then, both of them are seeds.
Yeah.
You can't sow it. If you don't sow it, you get no crop.
Yeah.
If
and that'll
you
get
sow
you in
it,
trouble.
That'll get you in bad trouble.
We've been told to multiply, and if we're not multiplying, we got trouble.
You still can't stand.
That's right. You can't stand.
So,
and you know, the other thing is it's important where you stand, too. I was looking in Galatians this morning, and Galatians 5 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again at the yoke of bondage." So not only take a stand, but you better be standing where God's standing. You better be standing on the things that he has that are important.
That's excellent. That's just a driving point right there. You're supposed to choose the liberty. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
The pursuit of life, liberty. And the pursuit of happiness.
Yep.
So I'm life first. If I invest in something that's detrimental to life, That's not a...
God won't bless it.
No, you can't do it.
You're going to reap tares instead of good fruit. You're going to get that Matthew 13 crop of tares rather than a wheat harvest, rather than something that's good and edible that you can use. You're going to get weeds and thorns and thistles.
Why didn't they use the word doctrine? Why didn't they use some other word other than platform? The Democratic platform, the Republican platform, the Libertarian platform, the Whig Party platform. Why? Because of this whole idea, come stand with us.
That's right.
This is what we stand for.
And come stand with us.
Come stand with us.
Come make an investment with us in this, which is a vote or could be a contribution to candidates, either one. You're still sowing into a ministry. And by the way, those parties are ministries. Romans 13, twice in verse 4, once in verse 6, we're told that those that are in civil government are ministers. So we're making an investment in a ministry. Now, is it going to be a good ministry or a bad ministry? Because if you invest in bad ministry, you're going to get the crop that goes with it.
Isn't minister and administration, they come from the same word.
That's right.
And both those words are also translated in Scripture, priest.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Ministers. Mm-hmm. That means just exactly what it says. That is a ministry.
Yeah.
And it's vitally important. I don't want a pastor that is for abortion. I don't want a pastor that's for all of these different political ideas that are destructive and crosswise the Word of God. I would not go to a church and listen to a pastor that would stand up there and preach one thing to me and vote for another.
And
I won't do that.
We've always had in the Bibles examples of priests who got it all wrong. You have Aaron's sons who offered strange fire before the Lord. They were priests. You had priests that would stick those hooks in the pot and bring out more than they're supposed to. You had Eli's sons who did the same. You had all these priests who did it wrong, but you also had priests who did it right.
They used their priesthood and their authority to sin. Mm-hmm. And that's always gone on. I tell you,
And you're going to have ministries today, the same thing, that will use their ministry in the wrong direction. They're not standing where God's standing. They didn't stand with Christ. They didn't stand in the things that He gave them. They're standing somewhere else outside of where they're supposed to be. But they still are ministers. They've just got wrong doctrines, wrong philosophies.
Now, you have a closer association with a lot of these people than I do because of what God's called you into. David, why is it? What is the rationale in the mind of pastors of churches who can read a politician's platform, a political party's platform, and read in that platform things that are so crosswise of God's Word? I'm not talking about just insinuating some blatant statements. And go vote for that thing and stand for it and stand up and then stand in the pulpit and preach just the opposite. What is the rationale for that?
I haven't found a good one yet. And when I ask them, they say, yeah, but. And when you get that but word in there, now we're separating the sheep from the goats. It's goats that butt. And when you stick a butt word in there, you got real problems. And you say, Pastor, look what it says. Yeah, but. No. If it says stuff that's unrighteous and you have become yoked with it, there's no yeah, but to it. I mean, you have sown into unrighteousness. You're going to reap a harvest of unrighteousness. And I see that with political guys as well. I can show you two U.S. senators I've been with. And these two U.S. senators, one of them, this senator, absolutely, if he's given a chance to pray, will pray in Jesus' name and doesn't care who gets offended about it. He is unabashed about using the name of Jesus, unabashed about talking about Bible studies, unabashed about all that. And then that senator votes for homosexual marriage, against traditional marriage. He votes for partial birth abortions. Every abortion that's ever come along, he's voted for. And then there's another senator And this senator talks about what God showed her that morning in the scriptures, the Bible verses I just memorized, and I mean will lead people to Christ at the drop of a hat, and then votes against biblical marriage, votes against life, votes against religious expressions in public. And I say, how do you guys do that? And they said, oh, this is our faith, but this is our job. Now, when your faith doesn't affect your job, if you can put God in a little box over here and hold him in a box, and you don't let him out to affect the rest of your life, we got real trouble. And there are a lot of pastors who compartmentalize their faith.
Well, that in my mind, now I may be, this may be just because I'm this country or something, but I don't care. And forgive me for being plain about it, but I ain't got much time left on this broadcast today. That's a guy that preaches on Sunday and pimps all week.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see any different than that.
Well, you know, what I see that's even more significant is I go back to Luke 6 where Jesus said, you say to me, Lord, Lord, but you don't have the works. You don't have the fruits.
Yeah, I mean, that's scripture on it.
And
right
so
there.
Who cares what they say?
Yeah.
I want to see the fruits. You can tell me you're a banana tree, but if I see apples growing on you, I got a little trouble believing you're a banana tree.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't care what you tell me
and
about
I'll
your
faith.
And I'll
tell you what, whoever planted you and put a banana sign on you, I don't have nothing to do with that fool either.
Whoever labeled you.
I don't think I'm going to vote for him.
But you hit something by saying, you know, if that pastor reads that platform and I will tell you that 99 out of 99.1 people have never read both platforms of the parties. They're going to go into the ballot box, and they better be in that ballot box. I mean, God's going to hold them accountable at that vote. They go in there, and they look at Republican, Democrat, or the other 15 or 17 that are going to be on there, and they look at the person. And you know that right now in America, 50% of all votes will be cast on the basis of 30-second television commercials. Now, I can make anybody look good in 30 seconds on TV. If we don't take the time to be informed and go say, I want to know what they really stand on. They've taken a stand. They've built a platform. They want me to get up on that platform with them. I better know what that platform is because I'm making a contract with them. And before you sign a contract, you better read that contract. And so you're going to give a vote to somebody. You're going to make a contract with them. You better read that contract. And Christians flat need to read both platforms before they step
Absolutely.
In to vote. They need to get online, just Google it, Republican platform, Democrat platform 2008, and read them, and then go make a decision how they're going to vote. Don't do it on the basis of TV commercials, because anybody can look good on a 30-second TV commercial. I mean, that's not a hard thing to do. But we got to be higher than that. We as Christians have to be a lot more intelligent than that. We can't be let. There's a way that seems right to man, and we can make anything seem right in a 30-second TV commercial, but the end thereof is death. And we got to get away from that.
That brings me up to this, and we'll introduce it today, and then as the Lord wills, get into it again tomorrow. Some huge political issues that are just absolutely crosswise of the Bible, yet the average Christian has no idea what the Bible says about it.
Right.
And stuff, all the thing that just really has been on my heart and mind now for a while is the environmental issue. Some of the biggest scams in history have come through. They've come through the avenues of the environment, and they've come through the avenues of health, and come through the avenues of education and so forth, make big deals out of it in order to bleed the government, which is the taxpayer, on all of these huge, huge grants.
Yeah.
I've talked to a man one time that he was representing a scientist, and this particular scientist was one of those. He was an introvert. He just spent all of his life in the lab. He didn't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
But this man he this man counseled him and he represented him, and if he had any talks with anybody, he sent him. He didn't want to talk to people, man. He was terrible at that, very timid man, and a brilliant scientist. And the people that were dealing with him, I'm talking about people in the medical community, drugs and so forth, particularly in the area of cancer. And this guy was way out there. He was doing some outstanding things. And the problem with his work, it was too close to a cure.
Yeah.
I said, it's...
What?
What? He said, it's too close to a cure. I said, come on, man. His name is David also. I said, come on, David. What do you mean it's too close to a cure? Man, we ought to be pulling for this guy. He said, this is the most sickening thing I ever got into in my life. He said that one of the men that looked me right in the eye, and he quoted this great big number to me, and he said, that's what I make every year in research, not in cures.
That's right. Yeah.
I thought, whoa,
research,
this ain't nothing but a scam, man.
Yeah.
And doing it in the name of science and messing with my health.
Yep.
And then you get to the place where you start pushing drugs and pharmaceuticals as political issues.
Right.
You way out of line.
Yep.
And that's been a fault of both parties.
Yep.
And so, like Mr. Huckabee said, man, you get, when the government starts paying for drugs and them old hippies find out about it, he said, man, you can't afford that.
Yeah.
So he said, they'd be signing up.
But see, a research, when you get like embryonic stem cell research, what they're doing, they have yet to find a single cure in embryonic stem cell research. We got 85 cures in adult. But they're looking at 40 years of research funding, and that's what they're working on. We don't care whether we find a cure or not. We got a 40-year
contract. And all they talk about is what
funding.
We hope to find, and this is wonderful. Well, I hope to find $1 million
out there
in my backyard,
too. I hope to find
gold
in every one of these. Great. I hope to find lots. Doesn't mean it's going to work.
Doesn't mean that you ought to support me to eat
billions.
The rest of my
exactly
life.
Right. But that's, you're right. It's on research, and that's what they come to get research grants that last decades. Decades.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And it's not whether it works or not, or we don't care about that. We want the money. And that's a political thing people have to get over as well.
And you can't do it unless you know what the truth of it is. And you better start with the Bible truth about it, because you're not going to hear that on the news media. So tomorrow, let's get into this environmental issue from the Word, and we'll take some looks at what God has to say about it, and then we'll see how it all fits together in that area. Now, you better be praying about these things. Let me speak here for a moment to those of you that live outside the United States. What this nation does affects every nation on earth. When we have good government, it affects the whole world. If we have bad government, it affects the whole world. So we need your prayers. We need you to get in here and pray with us. And we're praying with you in your nation, in your government. And it is of vital importance that these things be carried out properly, because we're under the strongest mandate that heaven has ever put into the earth, to go into all the earth and preach this gospel to every creature. And that's what we're involved in. And this United States is the strongest, heaviest outflow of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus than any other nation in history. And we need you to pray for us. David and I will be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognize the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the Influence Package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
I want to talk to you a minute about this influence package by David Barton, the influence of the Bible on America, and the Bible, voters, and the 2008 election. This is really, David, this is the first time that I have ever opened any book that I know of other than the Bible when the end notes were as or more important than the content, yeah. Man, because yeah. you got website after website after note after note. The notes are as valuable as the text. Because yeah. this is a...
Well, that's that thing that Paul told us in Acts 17 is the Bereans were the most noble because they checked me out every time. I preached them the gospel. They didn't buy it until they checked it out. And I tell you what, checking footnotes is the best way to know authority on which you stand.
Check them out. Praise God. You need to get a hold of these and spend some time in it. Spend time in it with your Sunday school class, with your church, with yeah. your pastor, and with your family.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, little children understand these things. When you explain them to them, they understand what you're talking about.
That's right.
And so you don't wait till they're old enough to rebel before you ever start teaching them like this. Next week, November the 4th, the election of the 44th President of the United States, among a lot of other offices, too. And you be praying about it. You pray in the Spirit about it every day. I mean, you take your stand. If you didn't register and you're not qualified to vote, you need to be strongly repenting over that right now, because you're in a mess if you don't. You repent over it and you pray in the name of Jesus and you commit to God, you will never let that happen again. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Then,
right.
we're going to be in a meeting right there in Washington, D.C. in just a few days. I'm telling you, we'll be just turn around about twice, and we'll be there at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, David Barton reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org. or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.